extends my life. The spice expands consciousness.
So welcome to X Squared Radio. I'm your host, Brooks Agnew. We're coming to you live from an undisclosed location east of the Appalachian Mountains. Our AccuWindow forecast is almost 50 degrees still. Amazing climate change we're enjoying. The solar wind is 443 kilometers per second, and the proton count is still high at 3.9. Well, can you hear the howls? According to folklore, tonight's full moon is the wolf moon, named after the singing packs of wolves once heard by Native Americans during the winter month of January. Forecasters said a coronal mass ejection might deliver a glancing blow to Earth's magnetic field on the 7th, which was yesterday, and indeed it might have. There was no sharp change in the solar wind speed, signaling a CME's passage. There was, however, a surge in ground currents in northern Norway during the late hours of January 7th, early this morning, which suggests that something did rattle Earth's magnetic field. If you have any ideas on what might have caused that, you're in the know out there, we want you to call in tonight and be part of tonight's program. Our toll-free number anywhere in North America is 888-429-5471. Anywhere else on planet or off planet, you can reach us at 530-413-6472. Tonight, we have a special guest. He is arguably the world's most listened to webcast talk radio host, even bigger than X Squared Radio. He is a former captain of the Romanian police and a brilliant investigative mind into the mysteries of the world. He has been a mentor of mine in this business for many years. He is the one and only Kevin Smith, and he will be my guest in the next hour. You don't want to miss that, because every once in a while, Kevin and I get together on his show or on mine. And tonight it's mine, tomorrow night it's his at thekevinsmithshow.com. And we talk about some of the things that are not making the mainstream news and the real story behind some of the things that are making the mainstream news. So you don't want to miss it. Hang around. If you're on right now and your friends are not, go ahead and Twitter them. And tell them to get on xsquaredradio.com or bbsradio.com and listen live tonight, because you don't want to miss what we're going to go over. We have some of the most earth-changing stories for you this hour. Mankind is nearing the power of the gods. The question is, always, are we wise enough to use these powers? Oh, sure, we've split the atom, and we're aiming such weapons at one another 24 hours a day and jockeying for a political position around what those weapon systems might mean. But are the communities of the universe ready for man to step through the dimensions and enter the realm of immortals? Have we been there before in another form and then regressed to the animal we seem to emulate? Here is the first story that vindicates the stories we have heard for 20 years, that there was an ancient race who played with genetics and created species that consumed or destroyed millions of species off the face of the earth. Some of them may have survived inside the earth, but they are gone from the face of the earth. Get ready to get squared. Here we go. First story. Six animals used to make a new monkey. That's right. U.S. researchers said Thursday they have created the world's first mixed embryo monkeys by merging cells from up to six different embryos in what could be a big advance for medical research. Until now, rodents have been the primary creatures used to make chimeras, a lab animal produced by combining two or more fertilized eggs or early embryos together. Scientists have long been able to create knockout mice with certain genes deleted in order to study a host of ailments and remedies, including obesity, heart disease, anxiety, diabetes, and Parkinson's disease. Attempts to create melded primates have failed in the past, but scientists in the western state of Oregon succeeded by altering the method used to make mice. The breakthrough came when they mixed cells together from very early stage rhesus monkey embryos in a state known as totipotent. When they are able to give rise to a whole animal, as well as the placenta and other life-sustaining tissues. We have evidence of this already, as you know, from Lloyd Pye, who has been on this program. He's the caretaker of the Starchild skull. He has found evidence that dogs and cats, prey cats, like predator cats, like leopards or lions, were mixed anciently to create a cloned animal, which is called a cheetah. The cheetah is not really a cat. Oh, yes, it has a cat head. It has a cat tail. But it has a dog skeleton. That's right. The vertebrae in the dog, the rib cage in the dog, and the feet of the dog are what make up the cheetah. The cheetah does not have retractable claws like a cat. But he does have a cat head. Now, couple of other anomalies about the cheetah is all of the spots on the cheetah are dog fur, and all of the light fur on the cheetah is cat fur. And it doesn't matter which cheetah you take from which generation, they are all genetically identical. They are reproducible clones. It is clear when you look at the genetics of this animal that it was genetically engineered exactly the way these monkeys are being engineered. Now, knockout mice are typically made by introducing embryonic stem cells that have been cultured in a lab dish into a mouse embryo, but that failed in monkeys, just as it may fail in humans. Primate embryos do not allow cultured embryonic stem cells to become integrated as mice do. Combining primate cells apparently requires more potent early stage cells from a living embryo, said lead researcher Shukrat Mitalopov of the Oregon National Primate Research Center at Oregon Health and Science University. Now, one of the reasons they won't be able to do this with humans right now is because we have legislation that makes it illegal to harvest or farm human embryos. The experiment produced three healthy male rhesus monkeys they named Roku, Hex, and Chimero, with gene traits from all of the separate embryos used to meld them. The cells never fuse, but they stay together and work together to form tissues and organs, said Mitalipov. The possibilities for science are enormous. I probably don't need to elaborate too much on that, but you get the picture. The cells never fuse, but they stay together and work together to form tissues and organs. The research is published online ahead of the release of the January 20 issue of the journal Cell. Scientists use rhesus monkeys to study HIV, AIDS, drugs, research vaccines for rabies, smallpox, and polio, and to study potential uses for embryonic stem cells. They also have been launched into space on test missions by both the U.S. and Russia. So we can't model everything in the mouse, Mitalopov says. If we want to move stem cell therapies from the lab to clinics and from the mouse to humans, we need to understand what these primate cells can and can't do. Researchers at the same Oregon facility in 2000 created the first genetically modified monkey, Andy, who was carried an extra bit of DNA that was inserted while he was an unfertilized egg. That experiment was described in Science magazine in 2001. Excuse me. I have a little bit of allergies today. I guess it's so warm today here in the Southeast that things are blooming. And some of those blooms don't agree with my sinuses, and that's why I probably sound the way that I do tonight. Who was it that said that we didn't have climate change, that this was just normal weather? It doesn't matter, because we're firmly convinced now that climate change is upon us. Everyone from Colorado to Boston is wondering, including the Broncos-Steelers game. Let's see, what was the game today? New York Giants. During that game, they were playing outside in New Jersey, and there was no snow, and it was pretty cool, and everyone was in short sleeves, at least playing on the field, light jackets in the stands. So the Giants move on, and when I sat down at this microphone, it was tied between the Steelers and the Broncos, 23-23. So I am missing the game while I'm live with you, which is probably where you are tonight, why you're not calling in right now, because, well, come on, we want to see Tebow win against the Steelers. Nevertheless, our phone number tonight, 888-429-5471, 888-429-5471. By the way, anybody know the score of that game? Go ahead and Skype it to me at X2-Radio or call in, and we can talk about it for a minute. Pretty incredible ball game. Anywhere else on planet or off planet, it's 530-413-6472. Don't forget, as you are making your plans for this year, 2012. Come on, you gotta have plans for 2012. You're not just going to coast through it, are you? You're going to participate, right? Well, there's a lot of things you could participate in this year. But this millennia, the date to remember is December 21st, 2012. And I want you to be with me at Maya 2012 in Chichen Itza. That is in Mexico. That is ground zero when it comes to the Mayan prediction, or should I say their recollection of the future, of what is going to happen on this planet. You want to be able to tell your kids, your grandkids, when they ask you, Dad, Grandpa, where were you on December 21st, 2012? You can tell them, I was at ground zero. I was at ground zero for December 21st, 2012. And there's only one place, and that's Chichen Itza. Sure, you could do it at Cancun. Sure, you could go to Stonehenge. You could go to any of the other great sites that are going to capitalize on this year. You could go to Shasta. You could go to Mammoth Cave in Kentucky. But nothing is like being at Chichen Itza with this group. Greg Braden, Power Places, is putting it on. We're going to arrive there on the 13th. We're going to stay to the 22nd. I promise to have you home well before Christmas. And guess who else is going to be down there? That's right, Sting and Santana. That is where you want to be. Make your plans now. See yourself there. All you have to do is click on the orange banner at xsquaredradio.com. And, I just have Pat relayed a message to me from Wisconsin. The Broncos won. Ta-da! Okay, that's good. My life is complete. I can die now. No. I want you to be with me December 21st, 2012, at Chichen Itza. Click on the orange banner, Maya 2012. That's where we're going to be. The next story we have this hour, and by the way, don't forget Kevin Smith of the Kevin Smith Show is going to be with us at the top of the hour. If you have not listened to his program, I don't know where you've been. Kevin Smith is arguably the most listened to webcast radio talk radio host in the world. His audience has grown for years. He is a mentor of mine, a good friend. He's going to be on my program tonight at 6 p.m. Pacific, and I am going to be on his program tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Central. So this is where you want to be. The second story tonight, super soldier ants created. Oh, boy. I'm telling you, the Anunnaki had nothing on us. We have it going on, and we're humans. Do you think we really have the wisdom to play in these arenas? I mean, yeah, we're playing with mice, we're playing with monkeys, we're playing with ants, bacteria, fruit flies. What do you think is next? 888-429-5471. You remember we've had a couple of pieces on Monsanto, and they're playing with different crop plants like corn. And you know, for over a decade, they've been trying to get a genetically modified wheat. And this year, 2012, this year, FDA has approved, and the Department of Interior has approved, a new genetically modified wheat. Did you know that there are growers in Washington State that are growing the original Egyptian wheat? The kernel of this wheat is like four times the size of a hard red winter wheat and highly nutritious. And they managed to save or harvest, or I should say gather, some of the wheat from the ancient storage areas that were discovered in Egypt. Some of that wheat made it to Washington, and it has been grown into seed crops and is now being grown and made into bread and all kinds of products up there in Washington State. That's true. So, super soldier ants created. Nightmarish super soldier ants with huge heads and jaws have been created by activating ancient genes. Scientists believe the monster ants may be a genetic throwback to an ancestor that lived millions of years ago. Scientists say they can create the super soldiers at will by dabbing normal ant larvae with a special hormone. The larvae then develop into super soldiers rather than normal soldier or worker ants. Can you say Captain America? Super soldier ants can occur naturally in the wild, but only rarely. In the deserts of America and Mexico, their job is to protect the colony from raids by invading army ants. The super soldiers use their enormous heads to block the nest entrance and attack any enemy ant that gets too close. Scientists showed that ordinary ants of the species, Faedolae morisi, contain all the genetic tools needed to turn them into super soldiers. They just need a hormonal push. The research is reported today in the journal Science. Oh, I can see new steroids on the way. Right away. Yeah, we need super soldiers. Authors, and you're going to have to help me with these names. What does this one say? Authors, Dr. Rajendran Rajakumar from McGill University, Canada, and colleagues wrote, "We uncovered an ancestral development potential to produce a novel super soldier subcast that has been retained throughout a hyper-diverse ant genus that evolved 35 to 60 million years ago. The results suggest that holding on to ancestral development toolkits may play an important role in evolving new physical traits," say the researchers. I wonder whose physical traits they will be evolving. "I think with a little hormonal push, we can break through the aging gene. I think with a little hormonal gene, you know, we replace our skin about every 3 to 4 months. Some people replace their skin every 30 to 40 days. It depends on how young you are. But the skin does not replace itself with the same vitality and elasticity and ability to resist UV radiation and to heal. With a little hormonal push, the skin can return to its youthful vigor. I wonder how many Hollywood and political personalities would like to get their hands on that. I just want the stuff that grows hair. When they get ready for that, you can write your own paycheck. What happens if we start treating other animals with hormones to excite their primordial abilities?" Can you say Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde? The race of mankind has stepped up to the edge of the cliff, my friends. We stare over our own toes to the abyss of global cataclysm below. We have fear, yes, but we are listening to the leaders who tell us that the winners will survive the jump. Leaders tell everyone that they are winners. The soldiers treat the enemy as though they are not human. You've heard it. I've heard it. I heard it just the other night. One of the authors of a new book, something like the deadliest assassin or deadliest sniper, came back from Iraq with something like 150 kills. And he spoke quite cleanly about, you know, treating his people that he put in the crosshairs as savages. His only regret, they couldn't save everybody he wanted to save, but he had no trouble pulling the trigger. He served four tours. Four tours. The civilians believe that the soldiers are unimpeachable members of an army that does the will of the president. But are the leaders of the armies followers of the president? No matter what. You know, we talked about the new National Defense Act that was signed last week. The president now has the power to use federal troops to suspect, arrest, detain, and deport anyone, including U.S. citizens, without cause, with no due process, no habeas corpus, no access to a lawyer. You're just never heard from again. I'm sure we're going to talk about that at the top of the hour with my guest, Kevin Smith. He's a former law enforcement, not only officer, but manager. And he was captain of the entire police force in a country. So he knows what he's talking about. He knows the law. And this is just the second chapter or third chapter in the Patriot Act. And Janet Napolitano. We've had a hard time with Janets, haven't we? Janet Reno, Janet Napolitano. Maybe get Janet from hell. You know, it's like we get these incredible law enforcement officers that are untouchable and can do anything they want to do regardless of the Constitution. That's where we are. Well, this story tells us that the media members have looked under the curtain and they've seen the wizard. And they have their doubts. Or worse, they care more about their mortgage than they do the will of the president. And hopefully, so do you. This story is really going to reveal where we're at here. The media was covering the Obama appearance at the Pentagon Thursday morning. And they have a very telling, they let a very telling cat out of the bag. The morning before Obama gave a speech on the reconstruction of the military, a mic was left on at the Pentagon, and it was broadcast to millions of homes where people over at RonPaulForums.com and RealClearPolitics.com, they caught the sound bit of the media talking amongst themselves about Ron Paul. Now, you know, here at this station, we have officially endorsed Ron Paul, or at least the idea of Ron Paul. I think that he's placing high enough in the polls and doing well enough in the debates that at least his ideas are going to be accepted in whatever platform does win. Can Ron Paul win? Well, we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight because we do have a piece on political science, and I think you're going to find it interesting. We are not political pundits here, but we do cover the science of politics, and it is kind of fascinating. But aren't you curious as to what the press was saying when they thought no one was listening?
Well,
it's amazing. The two bits that we were able to make out, and there are differing opinions on what we could hear, go something like this. Here's the quote. And this is all irrelevant when Ron Paul becomes president, laughing and sound that is difficult to make out in between. But then it gets clear again. You see this room? Two-thirds of us laid off when Ron Paul is president. You can clearly see the media bias when they are all laughing and not realizing everything they said was on tape. I think the last laugh is on the press. Good catch, everyone. Good catch. By the way, there's something else I want you to pay close attention to at xsquaredradio.com. If you go down to the affiliates, it's on the first page, front page, about two-thirds of the way down. We have a new advertiser. This is Hans Mittendorf. Hans Mittendorf is a musician, and we're going to play his music during the break at the top of the hour. He is not only a musician, he's also an artist, and one of the pieces that he has created is there in the affiliates area at the bottom of the front page. I want you to click on that, go to his Amazon page, and let's support Hans by picking up his Soundscape music. We often play things like Lisa Gerrard, or we play Robert Rich, or we play Steve Roach, or we play Deuter and some of the other Soundscape artists. We like that kind of music. I like it because it stimulates your thought processes, and it's interesting because it doesn't numb your mind. It's sort of like audio meditation, and that's what I like about Hans Mittendorf's music. And so I want you to pay close attention to the music at the top of the hour. Sit back, loosen your seatbelt a little bit. You've already got your chair reclined. Your tray table does not need to be up in its locked position. I would recommend having your favorite beverage on it while you listen to this program. Or if you're working on your favorite project or you're at work listening to this as an archive, I think you'll enjoy it. Just to sit back and listen and enjoy. It's not rhythmic. It's something designed to open your thought processes. One thing is for sure, Earth Explorers, the media does not believe in you. The media thinks that they will choose the next president, not you. They are already creating the ticket and the outcome in their own minds. And they'll write the script that will decide the most important election in 100 years. The last set of choices gave us the Federal Reserve. This set will allow that group of foreign bankers to pick its own leader. Get ready for the most expensive, most unbelievable avalanche of propaganda in history. We're talking a multi-billion dollar presidential campaign. Come on, people. When the incumbent is going to spend $1 billion to retain a job that pays $400,000 a year, don't you think there's something wrong? The entire landscape of this new world is being computer generated as we speak. You will not be able to tell the difference between the real and the animated. The only way to keep your wits about you is to listen to X Squared Radio and the Kevin Smith Show. You're going to get the facts here. We are not going to be fooled by a computer-generated landscape. We're not going to be fooled by propaganda that's designed to keep you stupid, to make you believe, oh, that person's not electable. Why? Well, because we, the press, we're the smart ones. We've decided who's going to be president, not you. You do what you're told. Don't you? Well, here's a good example of how the facts can be manipulated by reporters and commentators who do your thinking for you. Now, you wouldn't think this is too important, but it really is. Every 10 years, the entire nation, according to Constitution, must be counted. Not estimated. It can't be done with a sampling. Every single household must be visited and a series of questions asked to find out who lives there, how much money they make, what race they are, whether they're naturally born, whether they're citizens. We want to know because it forms the political and socioeconomic and anthropological makeup of our country. Now, this piece, this section is entitled The Census. Now, this article was written by Haya El-Nasser. Haya El-Nasser. And it's entitled U.S. Youth Shrinks for First Time in a Generation. Well, that's a factual statement. That is actually factual. Now, before I go into too much detail about this article, I'd like to make sure that you know that USA Today is a liberal rag, barely suitable to wrap fish, okay? And this statement by Haya El-Nasser, the writer, is unscientific and unfounded. And what's worse, it throws a conclusion into your mind before the facts are even reported. It should be the census, but this is what the article opened with. Are you ready? Okay. I want you to put your glasses, your X-Squared Radio glasses on, your special X-Squared Radio headphones, because you've been squared and you know that everything put into this formula is going to come out positive. See if you can see through this. Quote, the bad economy and slowdown in immigration is shrinking the nation's youthful population for the first time in a generation, according to census data released today. Would you like me to read that to you again? I'm going to. The bad economy and slowdown in immigration is shrinking the nation's youthful population for the first time in a generation, according to census data released today. This is simply false. It's absolutely false. This subtly implies that we must increase the amount of immigration in order to have more children in our population. I know, he is asking, are you insane? No, not insane. This was the headline. I'm not kidding. This was not a scientific journal. This is arguably the most printed newspaper in the entire country. And this is what was reported. Now, the real official census does not make conclusions at all, let alone ones like this. The economy has only cursory effects on the rate of childbirth. Education has a far more documentable and profound effect on the rates of childbirth. Some of the poorest nations on earth have the highest birth rates, although they have very high infant mortality rates. Basic education that informs people that planned society is the key to national success. It's already available. It's free. It's everywhere. But it is blocked from nations who do not have valuable resources. When we read statistics, and trust me, I am a statistician, we must employ a style of complementarity. Complementarity. That means that the opposite of a truth is not necessarily a falsehood. It may also be a truth. Right. Here are the facts from the census. We looked it up. Okay. The number of people under 18 stood at 73.9 million on July 1st, 2011, a decline of more than 260,000 from the previous year. The last drop in the child population was in the 1970s, when most of the 77 million baby boomers had reached adulthood. Before that, it was during the Great Depression. Now, you can't tell me that people in the 1970s and people during the Great Depression didn't have education. You can't tell me that the economy had an effect on that, because in the 70s, the economy was going pretty well. Overall, the U.S. population is growing at its slowest rate, get this, since the mid-1940s. Now, William Frey, who is a demographer at Brookings Institution. He analyzed these new estimates, and this is what he said. I don't foresee a youth boom anytime soon. 36 states showed declines in the number of young residents. Even Nevada and Florida, Sunbelt states that had lured young families for decades, are showing declines in their under 18 populations, largely because fewer people are moving. The economy and dismal housing markets are keeping people in place, and more people are delaying having children. Well, there are many social and anthropological causes for wide swings in childbirth. The social reasons are as follows. And I know you can follow me with this, but the reason that I think this is important is because this is the first in many pieces of what are purported to be factual data being used as propaganda to mold the population into doing what the government wants you to do. Here's the first observation. Young people want to have a life of their own before they give of their time and resources to another human being. They are marrying later. They are cohabitating one or more times to make sure they know everything about a potential financial partner before they commit to a long-term relationship. You know, we do have, fewer than 21% of marriages that we consider permanent. In other words, 79% of all marriages end in divorce. Now, you can say better than 50% of them survive if you include all the people that have been married that are still alive. Because people that got married in the 40s and 50s who are still alive are of a different moray. When you married, regardless of whether you get along with the person any longer or not, you stay married. When we hit the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, we got to a point where it was socially acceptable and morally acceptable that when you didn't get along with somebody anymore, you put both of you out of your misery and you got a divorce. And you ended up probably being better friends than you would have been if you'd have stayed in the same household. And children developed relationships with their mothers and their fathers that were healthy and lasted throughout a lifetime through the range of grandparents and great-grandparents. Yes, it's wonderful if people can stay together for forever and ever. But people grow. They change. They become educated. One becomes educated and the other one doesn't. One becomes successful and the other one doesn't. One becomes fat and the other one doesn't. One gets ill and the other one doesn't. There are a thousand things that can divide people and push them in different directions where neither of them are happy any longer. But you can change that relationship and make the togetherness a little less often. And you can extend a relationship another 10, 20, sometimes even 30 years because things do tend to even back out again over time. And you know, some people just have other reasons. This is a function mostly of lawyers and selfishness. Yeah, absolutely. You understand. Lawyers make it extremely profitable for the first person suing in divorce. Then people do not want to give up their house or their stuff to another should the relationship fail. So there's all kinds of that going on out there, and young people see that, and they don't want to go through it. So they just delay it. They just hold off a little bit longer. They don't get married at 16 and 17 like when I was a kid. They get married at 26, 27, after they've had a few relationships and understand and can make a wiser decision. The second reason is the structure of marriage has actually come under historic attack. Gays, pornography, and the litigious nature of the subject have shattered the idea of marriage being a single man and a single woman forever, and the function, quite frankly, may never recover. If you saw the Republican debates over the last couple of days, this morning's was a carryover of their unsuccessful attempt at covering a gay marriage the night before. And this morning, they pushed it to the point where the audience just couldn't stand it anymore. They have tried to make it a central issue in this campaign. And folks, it just isn't. I think it was very plainly explained that whatever relationship two people of the same sex might have with one another, it may be wonderful, it may be eternal, it may last forever, but it isn't marriage. I mean, you can get all the benefits without having the title, is what I'm trying to say. The third is, there is a very strong social stigma against having children because of overpopulation. The root cause of the world's problems can stem from too many people on the earth, especially in certain places. Educated people are not going to go against the society. They're just not. They're going to have one child or two children, just enough to replace themselves in the society. Our people today in the United States, Europe, Canada, Mexico, well, maybe not Mexico, but certainly in the United States, Canada, and Europe, we're not having 7, 8, 9, 10 children anymore. Most Hispanic families that I see have 3, maybe 4, but they don't have 6 to 10 kids like they used to have. Why is that? Because they want to be responsible. They want to be able to lead those children to some kind of level of prosperity. It isn't a matter of having a genetic advantage anymore. Number four, and this one's important and overlooked by everyone. Why they haven't brought this up in the debate slays me. But I know this to be true. Abortion has killed more than 40 million children. 40 million children. Get that through your head. That's about 14% of the population of the United States. And they're all kids. Every one of them. 40 million kids killed just in this country. The concentration of billion-dollar service companies that actively market to the single mother has nearly wiped out an entire generation of kids. There are simply less children because they're dead. If you have any thoughts on that, you can call in 888-429-5471. 888-429-5471. Anywhere else on planet or off planet, 530-413-6472. No, they didn't get a chance to speak out for themselves because they breathed amniotic fluid instead of air. 40 million kids. This has nothing to do with Mr. Nasser's statement. The economy didn't kill these kids. The sociology of America has shifted the human race to post-depression rates due to social isolation and genocide. Post-depression women were undernourished and placed under the stress of going from the prosperity of the 1920s to the stench of the 1930s, having devastating effects on fertility. The financial and social stress on the American female today has never been higher. More than 50% of women under the age of 20 have, I'm sorry, under the age of 25, more than 50% of American women under the age of 25 have or have had a sexually transmitted disease. Several of these diseases are not curable. They will be infected for life. Strangely enough, less than 25% of young men under the age of 25 have had a sexually transmitted disease. How can that be? It's simple. Because only certain males are socially allowed to breed. It has always been that way. But the activity of women targeting the same male is new to the American society. I know this. I have 2 boys. I have 2 girls. And I can tell you they're all 4 good-looking people, smart, athletic, and good-looking. And the boys got called 10 times more than the girls. Because the girls are predatory today. A more interesting study would be to discover why the same males are having sex with multiple females. And some young men have 0 sexual contact until later in life. That would be an interesting study to conduct. 888-429-5471. 888-429-5471. Right here on X Squared Radio. That's the science of anthropology. And it's interesting. It's frightening. It's mind-altering to think about it. I look at the promiscuity of this society, and it, you know, it is promiscuous. You got to admit. Maybe it's a cycle that we go through. I don't know. I know somewhere, I don't know, about 20 years ago, they lowered the age of puberty. High school girls today don't look anything like high school girls when I was in high school. Come on. You know it. I know it. We don't know what they did, but they did something. And it isn't just fashion. It's what's under the fashion. Is it because the human race is reaching this point in the galaxy where these frequencies are altering the DNA? Or is it the genetically engineered foods? Or is it the hormones that are pumped into the animals that we consume? Is it the pasteurized, everything-ized milk? Is it the chlorinated, fluorinated water? You tell me, why is the human being changing? Why was life expectancy in the 50s about 55, 60? And now the life expectancy is about 75 to 90. In fact, the fastest growing age group in the United States today is the over 90 class. That's right. Over 90 is the largest, is the fastest growing age group. And the, by the way, the 90-year-olds, they're living to well past 100. And we're not talking about lying there in a bed on oxygen. We're talking about golfing, dancing, writing books, making movies, traveling. I see them all over the planet. When I travel, I see people. They're in their 80s. They're out there playing tennis. They're swimming. They're surfing. They're doing stuff. They're not old people. They're aged, but they're not old. You know what they say? 50 is the new 40. Well, come on, let's not even get close to that. 55 is the new 40. I've seen a lot of 55-year-olds that are very active, in great shape. And I don't think it's the things that they're eating. I mean, they've eaten as many Big Macs as I have. Something's happening to the genetics of the human being. The race of man is changing. We are evolving. So what's your opinion? Do you think it's the food we're eating? Do you think it's what we're drinking? Do you think we're abusing our bodies any less? I don't think so. Come on, you go out on a Saturday night, I can see there's a lot of self-abuse going on out there. It's everywhere. We're risk takers. We're thrill seekers. We're out there trying to, you know, make it happen for ourselves. I can tell you that this is a trying time. Some people think we live in tribulation. Some people think it's the best of times. I mean, come on, if you're making $300,000 a year plus, life is good. I mean, if you're in the White House, you can take a $4 million vacation every 60 days. You know, it's life is good. I was talking in a men's group the other night. We were down having some chicken wings and looking at some sports. And the question came up, if you could go somewhere where there were no challenges, there was no pain, there was no mystery, you knew everything. Everything you ever wanted to know was at your fingertips. And that there were no challenges. You didn't need anything. Every want you had was seen to instantly and immediately. Where would you be? You know, I scarcely got it over my lips, and one of the more senior members of our group said, hell, I'd be in hell. I said, well, actually, that is a description of heaven. You know what? Even though this was a church men's group, nobody agreed. Nobody wanted it. And I don't think you would either. So the realization is that although this biological transducer in which we interpret and see the universe might be subject to all of those things, age and pain and illness and limitations. Come on, I can't jump any more than about 2 feet off the ground. I'd like to be able to fly, and I can't. I'd like to be able to hold my breath for an hour under the water, and I can't. I'd like to be able to throw a ball 90 miles an hour like I used to, and I can't. There's a lot of things I can't do anymore. But all in all, I like the challenge. All in all, I like the taste of food. I like the smell of flowers. I like the voice. I like the touch. I like it here. With all of its challenges and all of its shortcomings, I actually think we could make this a heaven. I actually do think that we built this. We designed this just the way it is. Now, sure, it's an average reality because, come on, everybody's designs go into the mix, especially those that are close to us geographically and in the same time, same lifetime as us. It all goes into the same mix. Mistakes that are made in Japan affect the world. Prosperity that happens in North Dakota affects the world, affects the nation. So, yeah, some of the reality spills over into other people's realities, but most of it is our creation. I've said in the book, Remembering the Future, The Physics of the Soul and Time Travel, that two people could be dancing in bliss on the dance floor, listening to the music slowly in each other's embrace. One is floating in heaven, thinking that she would not rather be any place else in the universe at that moment. And the other one is looking at his watch. They're both in the same place at the same time, doing the same thing, but they're having different realities. That's where we are. All I'm saying is don't fall for the computer-generated world that they're going to throw at you. Create one. Create one. And the prosperity that you think you have to have in order to enjoy that, it may come, but I wouldn't concentrate on that as the goal. I would concentrate on doing what it is you want to do. I would concentrate on being what it is you want to be. I know you have some thoughts on that. By the way, at the top of the hour, my guest is going to be none other than Kevin Smith from the KevinSmithShow.com. He's coming on my program tonight, and tomorrow night I'm going to be on his program, 8 p.m. Central Time. I encourage you to go to the KevinSmithShow.com tomorrow night because we're going to crack some stuff wide open. Kevin always has a good set of questions, and he is arguably the most listened to talk webcast radio program in the world. He's in more nations than coast to coast. His audience continues to grow. He's a mentor of mine. He's a friend of mine. And he's coming on the program in about 9 minutes. So I want to cover Hans Mittendorf. Hans Mittendorf is both a musician. You know, my favorite genre of music is soundscapes, ambient music, like Deuter, like Robert Rich, like Steve Roach, like Brian Eno. You know, this music is just makes my mind turn on. I listen to it while I'm driving. People in the passenger side say, how could you listen to that stuff? It put me right to sleep. No, it doesn't. Actually, listening to rhythmic music pounding out the same lyrics over and over again puts me to sleep. I don't hardly even listen to it unless I'm trying to sing karaoke or something. But the soundscape music has almost pure thought in it. It goes straight into the subconscious, and it plays the overlaying harmonies and the instruments and the combination of sounds do something to the subconscious to turn it on, to almost mix it with the conscious mind. And I like it. So I want you to listen to this piece. It's called Cosmic Wavescape. And it's by Hans Mittendorf. He is now a new affiliate of X Squared Radio. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to xsquaredradio.com. I want you to go down to the affiliates section at the bottom of the front page. And you'll see a little red graphic. This is a miniature of one of his artistic pieces. You click on that, and it's going to take you to his Amazon page. I want you to order one of his CDs. Do it just because you listen to this program. I promise you that if you pop this CD in while you're driving or while you're sleeping or while you're meditating, you may even have an out-of-body experience. Please listen to Hans Mittendorf for the next 4 minutes, and we'll come back with my guest, Kevin Smith. We'll take a short break while you listen. There you have it, Hans Mittendorf. We give me about 5 seconds here. Squared Radio. It's January 8th, 2012. We're coming up on the second hour of X Squared Radio. We're coming to you live from east of the Appalachian Mountains. Our AccuWindow forecast is about 47 degrees. Still quite pleasant outside. Our guest this hour, Kevin Smith. Arguably the most listened to webcast talk radio personality in the world at kevinsmithshow.com. All right. Welcome to the program, Kevin. How are you?
Outstanding. Glad to be here. Thank you.
I was telling my listeners earlier that you've been a longtime friend and mentor in this business for me. I got started in this business. I'm in my seventh year. And you know, I struggled with equipment and formatting and all kinds of problems with webcast radio. And it was Kevin Smith that gave me the pointers that helped me become the host I am today. And I appreciate it. I just wanted you to know that.
Well, thanks. Good to hear that.
Well, Kevin, there are some pretty strange things going on out there with respect to technology. And also with respect to what our government is up to right now, and other governments. One of the things that's been fascinating to me is this new Tiangong, which means heavenly palace in Chinese, the new Tiangong space station. What have you heard about this?
Well, typically the Chinese don't put out very much information, and they have not put out much information about this. And, you know, their attitude towards the International Space Station has been, no thanks, we're going to do our own thing. And that's really about it. That's about all the information that is in the public domain is that they have no interest in being a part of the International Space Station. They're going to do their own space station. Thank you very much.
Well, we had Mike Evans on the program last week, and we talked about the idea that the Chinese are now making most of the microchips in our instruments and even in our weapon systems. And we talked about the RQ-170 stealth probe that evidently landed with almost no damage on Iranian soil. And he uncovered the fact that a lot of this hardware, that is to say the chips that go into the electronics that make up this particular drone, came from China, and there is a back door in the hardware that was given to the Iranians, and the Iranians were able to hack into the flight control systems of the RQ-170 and literally fly it to the ground.
Mm-hmm. Are you surprised?
Well, I am a little bit. You know, I would say 15 years ago, we were the number one microchip producer in the world. Many microcomputers and everything, although some of the components were invented elsewhere, like Israel, the production happened in a little place called Silicon Valley, which is kind of the birthplace of the modern computer. But they don't make chips there anymore. There are some specialty shops that make some chips here and there, but as far as the large-scale production, it doesn't happen in this country. It happens in China. And he revealed something quite shocking. And that is that every torpedo, every shoulder-fired missile, every smart bomb, every piece of equipment we have, from night vision goggles to smart guns and surveillance systems, are all built with Chinese electronics off the shelf. And this security breach exists in all of that. And he said that, heck, we might be firing torpedoes that turn around and blow the ship up where they came from. What kind of a mess are we in, Kevin?
Well, we're in a huge mess, but the mess is not just the technology. The mess is the insanity that allowed that, and that not only allowed it, legislated it, and promoted it, and made it reality. The insanity is, and the mess is the insanity in Washington, D.C.
Well, I have a tendency to agree with you. I know because, at least on one respect, we supply the government with electric vehicles and other components. But on the other hand, they're always looking for a cheaper outlet. Now, at some point, and I know these issues were raised with them because Mike was there. He was there, and he raised them. At the Pentagon, somebody stood up and said, hey, wait a minute. Do you think it's smart that we have weapon systems that we very well could one day be aiming at China to be built by Chinese? And you're exactly right. I don't know, though, if it was insanity or if it was design.
Well, that's a matter of perspective on that. From my perspective, it's insanity. But my perspective is someone who loves the country, and I love America. It's also from the perspective of someone who understands that United States of America is not ambiguous. United States of America was formed by the Constitution. Without the Constitution, there is no United States. There's something, but it's not the United States of America. And, so the America that I love is the one that the Constitution created, not the one that we've morphed into. Of course, I still love the people. And in this morphed form in which we find ourselves. But the United States of America that I love is a constitutional America. And from that perspective, it's either insanity or treason.
Well, yeah, I know exactly where you're going. And this kind of, it doesn't really hit front and center. It sort of hits front and a little bit off of center, the way the mediators allow it to go in the debates. Every once in a while, the subject or the novelty or the value of the Constitution is raised in the debate. And it's usually by Ron Paul. That's why I say it's not front and center. Front and center is the front runner, the person whose numbers really haven't changed since day one. Everybody else kind of bounces around between 4% and 24%, but the front runner, Mitt Romney's numbers stay right where they are. But every time the Constitution is mentioned as a relevant factor in the selection of a president, the press kind of rolls their eyes. So what's going on with that? What happened to the freedom of the press that we once enjoyed because of our Constitution?
Oh, well, they haven't been free for decades. They're completely controlled. There was a joke going around after the government took over General Motors, and they said, everybody was saying GM stands for Government Motors. And really, they ought to change all of the media to GNN, Government News Network.
Well, you have a good point. It seems like they all get the same talking points and a little facts at 5 o'clock every morning. Because when their top stories come out, and I don't care if you're listening to CNN, MSNBC, or Fox, it's the same story. And then the daytime talk shows pick it right up at 9 o'clock in the morning and continue on to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. They're all talking about the same thing.
Well, they are, and there are so many absolute examples. I mean, not even questionable, just absolute in-your-face examples of the press manufacturing stories, the media manufacturing stories that are in many cases so far from the truth that you just have to say they're not fabrications, they're outright lies. And, and some of them are award-winning stories. They went, the reporters win awards for these things that they manufacture. And they know they're going to get away with it. They know the public are, in general, mushrooms.
Right. Well, they live in the dark and live on, well, you know what.
Yeah, a steady diet of manure. And they're happy with it. In general, that's the case. Now, there are exceptions. And the exceptions, quite honestly, are people that listen to and pay attention to alternative media. These are the people that care enough to be informed, and they are informed. They know what's going on. But the general population out there don't resemble the human race that we knew growing up. They don't resemble the human race much at all. They resemble more of something out of a Star Trek movie, where they're sort of mind-controlled Borg.
Resistance is futile.
Yeah.
So yeah. When we think about cutting a half of the defense budget in order to balance the budget, I kind of went too far there. We think about cutting half the military spending so that we could spend the money somewhere else. That is insanity. And in this world, in this age that we live, to drop our guard by gutting a budget which has done a good job at keeping most of the nation free. I should say most of the world free, not just this nation. Some of that budget is being used for other things. I don't think $1.3 trillion is being used on defense against what? I have no idea. It's being used for offense. It's being used by the folks down at Wars R Us to create a contingency for everything, which includes, and it's becoming more and more evident every single day, which includes the possible overthrow of this government.
This government has already been overthrown. The Constitutional Republic has already been overthrown by Congress.
Well, you have a good point there. Or should I say recaptured instead of overthrown?
What Congress has done is shredded the Constitution. I get a little disturbed, Brooks, when I hear people say, we've got to wake up, we're losing our freedoms more and more every day. Now, I get a little disturbed by that. because these are people who haven't awakened yet, saying, let's wake up. If you're awake, then you realize you're not losing your freedoms a little bit every day. They're gone. What I'm saying right now on this show puts me on Janet Napolitano's danger list. And what I'm saying is nothing nearly so in-your-face and radical as was written by the founding fathers of this country. Thomas Jefferson, for instance. Now, Thomas Jefferson would be listed by Department of Homeland Security as a terrorist risk for the things that he said about how to keep your democracy.
Well, that's true. You know, he almost single-handedly was responsible for two things, which fortunately we still enjoy, although just by our fingernails. One is the Second Amendment, which allows us to keep and bear arms. I didn't say anything about ammunition, but it does allow you to keep and bear arms. And the other is he was against a national bank. Hamilton was for it because the nation was broke. But Jefferson was against it because he knew if there was a national bank that we would very soon, as a nation, be completely indebted to it.
Well, you know, I'm not anti-government and I'm not anti-America. I am anti these hijackers that have taken over. And, you know, they've got to... Well, let me just put it this way. One sure sign of insanity is when you do the same thing over and over and expect a different result. Now, we're going to find out at the general election whether America is stark, raving, insane, or if they're going to take a step away from the people who have betrayed them.
What do you think about the movement to get out of our house, about actually throwing every single incumbent in every office out and replacing
them
with
that.
Any? Okay.
I'm for that. Every incumbent has been a part of the betrayal of this country.
Well, I talked to the folks down at Occupy Charlotte, and I was going to have them on the program last week, but, well, on Saturday they got arrested for lighting a flag on fire, so they didn't come on the program. But they said it doesn't matter if you throw them out. They'll just be replaced with other people. I said, yeah, that's the idea. You break the cycle at least for a year. These lobbyists can't move in and sew up the unknowns that are going to come in by the droves. And the second thing is you send a message to the people who own all these politicians that are in office that we're not going to let the cycle continue. Eventually, we're going to starve them out or force them out from behind the curtain to try to take control. And that's when we can get them.
Yeah, well... You know, the only possibility, there are some diseases for which the only possibility of health is a complete blood transfusion.
Right.
And I think we're there. and, if we don't get that, then we are going to have more of the same. Which doesn't mean we will simply continue on with what we have. It means we'll get more of what we have, which is overregulation, being spied on by our government, soon being watched and hounded and being made to disappear by our military. That's already been authorized. So, I mean, you know, either we get a blood transfusion absolutely whole new House of Representatives and Senate, or the disease is going to be terminal.
Yeah, I want to reiterate that every single congressman is up for re-election. One-third of the Senate and the White House. And I recommend changing all of the above.
Oh, I do too. You know, again, that sort of thing a month ago was protected freedom of speech. Today, it's danger talk. Put you on the danger list.
Well, it could. You know, earlier today, Kevin and I were discussing the political science of bananas. In political science, the pejorative term banana republic, and I want you to tell me if this is accurate, Kevin, because I just died when I looked this definition up. It denotes, that is the actual definition, a connotation would be an implied meaning. This is the literal meaning. A politically unstable country dependent upon limited primary productions, which is ruled by a plutocracy, a small, self-elected, wealthy group who exploit the country by means of a politico-economic oligarchy. The term Banana Republic originally denoted the fictional Republic of Anchuria, a servile dictatorship that abetted, or supported for kickbacks, the exploitation of large-scale plantation agriculture, especially banana cultivation. In U.S. politics, the term Banana Republic was a political descriptor first used by American writer O. Henry in Cabbages and Kings, 1904, a book of thematically related short stories derived from his 1896 to 1897 residence in Honduras, where he was hiding from U.S. law for bank embezzlement. One more short paragraph here. In practice, a banana republic is a country operated as a commercial enterprise for private profit, affected by the collusion between the state and favored monopolies, whereby the profits derived from private exploitation of public lands is private property, and the debts incurred are public responsibility. Such an imbalanced economy reduces the national currency to devalued paper money. Hence, the country is ineligible for international development credit and remains limited by the uneven economic development of town and country. Kleptocracy, which is a government by thieves, featured in influential government employees exploiting their posts for personal gain with the resultant deficit repaid by the native working people who earn money rather than make money. Because of foreign manipulation, the government is unaccountable to its citizens. The country's private sector, public sector corruption operates the Banana Republic. Thus, the national legislature usually are for sale and function mostly as a ceremonial government. Wow.
Can anybody say Washington, D.C.?
Exactly. I mean, that's a banana republic. And Kevin earlier today said, I don't think we have a republic anymore. We just have
just a banana. Maybe, you know, not even that.
Yeah, it may be a fully ripe banana, and you know what happens. The fruit flies start coming around. Yeah. I want you to get involved here. 888-429-5471, anywhere in North America. Anywhere else on planet or off planet, if you can get to a cell phone tower, you can reach us. 530-413-6472. I know you're out there watching the debates. This is the real analysis of what's going on. My guest is Kevin Smith. His program is called The Kevin Smith Show, and it's kevinsmithshow.com. And I highly encourage you to listen, especially tomorrow night at 8 o'clock Central Time, because we're going to be back on and we'll be talking about the subjects he wants to talk about on that program. But I find this political science absolutely fascinating, that this is stuff that's been around for over 100 years. We know about this stuff. We've had experts write about it. And yet, Kevin, Here it is in our face every day in the press. Where is the public on this?
Subdued. This pattern that has brought about their being subdued is the pattern that was used. Now, I know there are people that I get hot email every time I say this, but that's all right. This is the pattern that was used to subdue the German people when the Nazis took over. If you go to the internet and just do a search, any major search engine, do a search on Hitler's 25 points. That a lot of people here forget Hitler was elected. He was elected to chancellor. The 25 points were his platform. About 22 of those are in place here.
Didn't he appoint himself chancellor the first time?
Well, he bullied his way into being chancellor. But he was elected, by popular vote. But his platform, the Nazi platform, is called the 25 points. If you read the 25 points, and every time you see the word Germany, replace it with the word America, you'll find about 22 of those are in place in this country. We have been Nazified, which is not a surprise, because Project Paperclip, after the war, brought thousands of leading Nazi scientists over, many of them high-ranking SS officers, and put them in places of leadership in business, industry, and science. And it should not surprise us that happened.
Well,
I mean,
it's
a surprise that they brought them over. It should not surprise us that we have their philosophies have taken over. And the way you subdue the people is you create a crisis, and then, having created the crisis, step up to the bully pulpit and propose how you're going to save the people from this crisis.
Well, I heard one of the leading presidential candidates say that we have a leadership crisis in Washington. They use those very words. And I think I've heard the president say the word crisis about 40,000 times in the last 3 years, right before he goes on vacation again. He's definitely the vacationer in chief. And
even if they don't use the word crisis, all they have to do is create it. And they've done it again and again and again. They've created the crisis that they then tell us they're going to rescue us from and put us further in debt, raise the taxes. They're following the Nazi roadmap almost to a T, and they've been doing this now for decades.
Well, now the legislation is in place where they can follow it exactly. The military has now been authorized, although it hasn't been ordered to do it yet. It has been authorized to arrest without notice, without cause, without a search warrant, without due process, any American citizen. And not only can they hold you for more than 24 hours because there's no habeas corpus, you don't have the right to call an attorney. And if they feel that you're a threat, they can actually deport you from this country and you will never be heard from again.
They can Guantanamo you.
Wow, that's a heck of a term there, Kevin, to Guantanamo somebody. But, you think they can't arrest a society. Oh, yes, they can. Kevin and I have both talked about on our programs large facilities that are already prepared for this, and they're already in place sitting around the country.
That is true. And, you know, the thing is that we're going to get one shot at reestablishing constitutional government. We're going to get one shot at that.
And it comes in less than 10 months.
That's it. But I'm going to make a prediction. I'm going to make a prediction that I bet you I don't have to eat. And that is 95% of the incumbents will be reelected.
Including the president.
Well, in my estimation, yes, he's going to be reelected.
I've tried to warn the listeners of this program. Some of them listen live and just sit there and don't participate by phone. And some of them, most of them, listen at their workstations the following morning. I've told them that their apathy will elect this president, and for them to be ever vigilant because they are about to be flooded to the neck with $1 billion worth of propaganda in the next 10 months.
Well, you know, I have a very, some people tell me, an uncharitable attitude about it. And my attitude is, America, you elected it, like it.
Yeah.
So if you don't like it, you got one shot at fixing it. One. And then it's over. And so if you don't fix it, then like it. Don't complain.
Well, I've been out there interviewing some of the Occupy Charlotte people, and last Tuesday, one of them, once we start talking about all the little points, one of them will eventually get frustrated and step forward, and they'll say, look, everybody that makes more than $100 million in this country ought to be put in prison. I said, what? They said, yeah, everybody that makes more than $100 million in this company, their assets should be seized and they should be put in prison. I said, you should have said that in German, my friend, because that's exactly what they did.
Well, there are a lot of people that want change. They don't know what change they want. The very people that are now part of Occupy, not all of them, but a majority of the people that are part of Occupy, were singing the praises of the Messiah, Obama, because he said change. Oh, we want change. It's not enough to get change, folks. I mean, look, you got to get the right change. And, you know, the right change is to go back to a constitutional republic. That's the right change. That's when we were the freest people on earth. You know, Brooks, my wife and son do not live in this country, and I get criticized sometimes for that. But the reason is because I want my son to grow up free, and he can't do that here. I know a little bit about not being free. I mean, I've lived under communist regimes in my former career. I lived under Milosevic in two countries. And I know what it's like. And do you know what it's like, Brooks?
No, I don't.
Living under Milosevic was not much different than what we now have right here.
So if you're a law-abiding citizen, you have nothing to worry about.
Well.
Hey, let's see what John from California on line 3 has to say. Welcome to the program, John.
Hi, Brooks.
How are you, sir?
Can you hear me? Hi. Are you there?
Yeah, we're here. What's your question? You know, Kevin Smith's on with us.
What's my question right now?
Yeah, what are your thoughts on what we're talking about?
I'm getting a little bit of a split. Actually, I'd like to say hello to Kevin. This is John from Vancouver Island. And
Hello, John.
Hi, how are you? The reason I'm calling in is it kind of syncs up with what I mentioned before the last time I called, and that is the human body is actually the highest technology. And I'm linking this up with what Brooks was talking about a little bit earlier, where the fastest growing human population is the over 90s. Is that right, Brooks?
Yeah, that's correct. The fastest growing age group is the over 90 age group.
Right. And so what I took from that is that you're kind of looking at this like it's an anomaly.
Well, it is certainly the outcome of decades of evolution for the human race, because it's not just in the U.S. that this age group is going up. It's all over the world.
Right. Right. So, I mean, you could combine that anomaly with the number of people that are actually alive on the planet right now, which wasn't supposed to be possible. But here we are, boasting, 7 billion?
Billion people. And the planet could support more if it was better managed. We have a lot of wide open spaces, even in this country.
Yeah. Well, compared to what we've been told, I would say the sheer population is yet another anomaly, and you're talking about the anomaly of, the 90-year-olds expanding their domain. We're not living in usual times, and you were implying that there may be a change in DNA, which I would also add to it is, RNA is actually providing the information. The DNA is just a filing cabinet. It's the RNA that's actually active in making choices.
That's a good point. And so, it's much more affected by the environment.
Well, that's a back and forth thing. And what I would get at is, in spite of all the pollutants that we've been informed about, we've got people, in their 90s that are carrying on in spite of everything. So I would consider that an anomaly. And sort of what I'm getting at is, you, Brooks, were talking about what it might be like in heaven, where you got nothing to do, everything's taken care of, and there's no creation taking place, and there's no actual physical pleasures. What I think is the people in their 90s that are carrying on also know that, and they're going, no thanks. I like it here being alive in the physical. And then I'll link that back up with it. Perhaps people are realizing that the highest technology is the human body itself. So I'll just put that out there.
Interesting thought. What do you think, Kevin?
Well, I think the highest technology is the human body. No one has yet created a human eye. I agree that the highest technology is the human body. One of the problems that we have is that we don't live in a world where there is agreement on much of anything. And so there are people using lower technology that is very destructive to the highest technology. You know, in a war, it is arrogant and it's foolish for one side to say, well, we have the better technology, we'll win, no question. It doesn't take better technology to win a war. It takes better thinking and more will. And a country with lower technology can bring down a country with higher technology. And a good example of that is Nazi Germany. They had higher technology by far than the West had. And it takes better thinking and more will. That's all. So what's happening is we have lower technology than the human body doing things that's destroying the higher technology. For instance, Fukushima.
Well, that's true. You have a radioactive leak from a facility, and I've visited it when it was operating, and they were aware of the tectonic activity in the area, and they did have some minor problems with it, but I stress the word minor, because these nuclear facilities were the most modern. They were built by GE. They had absolutely impregnable containments that couldn't be blown from the inside, not by any kind of hydrogen explosion. And yet, strangely enough, reactor number 4 exploded, even though it didn't have any fuel in it, and it was offline.
How do you suppose that happened?
Well, according to my research with Jim Stone, the Dimona 12, these are consultants that came from Dimona, Israel. They brought a surveillance camera, a actual camera that mounts on the ground. It's self-contained, and it's capable of seeing through smoke and haze and darkness up to 1,500 meters away. That's almost a mile, almost a mile. And these cameras weigh about 54 kilograms, which is a little over 110, 120 pounds. However, these cameras, when they were delivered, weighed 3,000 pounds. And they very much resembled a lightweight nuke that Dimona had developed. And according to the information, this particular reactor was supposed to be used as a... Well, in conjunction with a reactor south of there, to make enriched uranium for the Iranians. And so the Israelis shipped this concealed weapon to the inside of the reactor and blew it up. And they timed it to go off with the next earthquake. The earthquake that occurred was only a 5.6 to a 6.5. I watched the films of it. I saw the post-earthquake photographs. There was no damage, no glass broken, not even the statues in the park had fallen over. But the tsunami that came was that of a 9-point quake, because it was aided from the outside by explosives that were set in the trench waiting for the next earthquake.
How sure are you about that?
Pretty sure. And also, the news reports months before the event occurred that the Stuxnet virus had infiltrated the computers at the Fukushima plant, which is the same virus that is specifically designed to take down Iranian nuclear reactors.
Well, I can't dispute it. I don't disbelieve it. It's quite disturbing if that happened, because while on the one hand one might can understand the Israeli position, why they don't want the Iranians to have enriched uranium, on the other hand, it shows a complete total lack of concern for the health of everybody on the planet. The death rate in the Northwest United States is up dramatically since Fukushima.
From what cause?
Well, it's being speculated that it's because of the cloud of radiation that floated over the U.S. and Canada and rained down on the Northwest United States and Canada.
Well, the thing I find interesting, when I have a good friend, David Cereda, and he dug up some information about, and my degree is in nuclear chemistry, so I know a little bit about this, but an acute exposure to radiation, that is to say a short-term high-intensity radiation, it can expose you to burns and it can lead to immediate death. But if you survive that acute exposure, you don't have any more exposure the rest of your life, there's still a chance that you'll have some kind of cancer. But you're probably going to survive. It is not nearly as deadly as a long-term, low dose of radiation, which is what we're getting. It's going to have much more effect on rates of cancer over the next 20 years.
Well, it will be interesting to watch. It'll be interesting to track, interesting to see. But, you know, if your information about how Fukushima happened, how it went down, if that's accurate, I would say that's a crime against humanity.
Well, it absolutely is. But, you know, the evidence is overwhelming. When you look at the blast pattern, and you know as well as I do because you're somewhat of a weapons expert, a blast pattern is very idiosyncratic to the weapon that's being used. When you look at the test firings of these mini nukes that were done by Dimona, and you match it up with the plume that occurred on reactor number 4, which, by the way, it was offline. It had its containment removed. This is 15 feet thick of reinforced concrete. It was designed to hold back a hydrogen blast from a runaway reactor. But it can't withstand the blast from a mini nuke. The two blast patterns are identical.
Well, for certain, a 45 caliber does not leave the same hole as a 22. And you're right. It's like a fingerprint. So, well, it's, you know, we live in a crazy world. We live in a world where the inmates are running the asylum, and it's just nuts.
And
the only thing
Kevin,
that you and I can do is control the part of the world that our feet are standing on.
John wanted to have an input there. Go ahead, John.
Yeah. You know, you know, when you guys, both of you, go on this way, like, it gets to sound and feel depressing, like we're all helpless. And when I hear the helpless bell being tolled, then you know, I start to get going, well, wait a minute. You've painted the big picture. But again, I'll go back to the anomalies that you, Brooks, talked about early on, where in spite of the environment that's being ever more polluted, guess what? We've got over 90s that are expanding in population. So how do you explain that? Like what I'm trying to get at is, I really appreciated, Brooks, the anomalies that you were starting to focus on. And I think if you start focusing on anomalies, what they do is they actually contradict all of the bad stuff, all of the inevitable destruction that looks like it's coming down the line. But what are the facts? The facts are old people are living longer and longer and longer. And
well,
so,
so
you know, normal scientific approach to this, I don't think is going to give you the full picture. There's something else going on, and that's what I'm focused on. I'm more interested in what shouldn't happen, and is happening. Population, old people growing, in spite of all of the pollutants and so on and so forth. So, you know, there's stuff going on that can't not be explained, and that's really what I'm trying to impress here.
Well, I think you're dead on the money that it isn't because the Department of Transportation is looking after the health of, you know, everybody in America. It's some other reason. Something in the human consciousness has allowed them to evolve their DNA where none of this stuff affects them.
Right. Well, that's what I want to, that's what I think is important. You know, that observation is, to me, the key one.
Well, and what I'm so, hoping is that, you know, people that have evolved physically have also evolved mentally, and they will do what is best for the greater society and go to the polls this November and clean the house.
You know, Brooks, I don't know about the polls. Like going to the polls doesn't explain why people in their 90s are living longer. Like, what I'm trying to get at is, I think people are appreciating that, and I phoned in to Kevin earlier this week, that if you realize that your own body is the highest technology, then nothing else is going to really impinge on that. And I'm thinking that people in their 90s are getting a taste and a smell of this and a feel of this, and they're just going to steadfastly carry on living. And for the reasons that you gave, and that is, I like the taste of ice cream, you know, I like good food, so on and so forth. And so the impression that I get is that people that have lived a long time are getting a sense that, hey, I don't feel like giving this up because I think this scenario is pretty good. And a day creating as an alive person, even if it's a shitty day, it's still a pretty good day. And that's what I think.
I got you. You know, even the challenging days, even the days when things don't go right and, you know,
right,
you're surrounded by incompetence, it's still a good day because you have something to compare the really
that's
good
right.
days to.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Hey, I have to go, and I'm chief cook bottle washer, so I got to go. And I just love being able to talk to both Kevin and Brax. Fantastic.
Isn't that amazing? You could do it again tomorrow night on his program. We're going to have a blast.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. Yeah. Okay, well, bye for now.
All right. Thanks for the call, John.
All righty.
Well, herein lies the dichotomy, Kevin. And if you want to, you could stay a little bit into the next hour. We can go a little bit more into this. I don't know what your Sunday night schedule is like. The dichotomy is that we have the human element that is self-aware, that's beautiful, that's intelligent, that's involved with the process of life and the joy of life. And we also have this aspect of humanity that doesn't seem to be very human at all. It's almost like an ancient Anunnaki designed alchemical process to enslave the entire world behind worthless ones and zeros. How do we solve this dichotomy? How do we save the one, I would say, inspired national freedom and liberty that was established in 1776 and fought hard for 300 years? How do we save that and make it something where the human element can call it heaven compared to something that is enslaved by debt, where you have no choice of what you want to be or what you want to do with your life? You must do what the state tells you to do, live where the state tells you to live, own what the state allows you to own. How do we solve that problem?
There's one shot, and that is a blood transfusion. And you got to put the right people in. You got to put people in You know, first you got to ask yourself, look, not all pit bull dogs are dangerous, but all are potentially dangerous. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I got to tell you, the only thing more plentiful than pit bulls as pets are people with scars that make excuses for pit bulls as pets.
Yeah. Yeah, so they're not all actually dangerous, but they're all potentially extremely dangerous. There are two parties that have been running this country since the Civil War. These two parties are absolutely traitorous. You just look at how many times have each party sold out this country. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody that's in these parties is traitorous. But as organizations, each of these parties has sold this country down the river again and again and again. And they have provided the legislation that says if you speak against the two-party system, you get put on the watch list. Now, explain to me, how is that different from being on the list for speaking against a one-party system in China? There is no difference. Totalitarianism isn't coming, it's here. And it's a two-party system. And seeking their own protection, they've put that legislation in place, and it has been signed.
Okay, yes, they have.
Now, it's all part of that same Guantanamo bill, what I call the Guantanamo bill, where they can just come and arrest you and make you disappear. So if you speak against a two-party system, how is that different qualitatively from speaking against having just one party? These two parties have sold America lock, stock, and barrel down the river again and again and again. So I'll leave it with that. If you keep doing the same thing, you will get the same results. You're not going to maybe get the same results. You are going to get the same results. And it's just not in the soul of these two parties to have a constitutional democratic republic here. It's in the soul of these two parties to protect their positions. And that's it.
Well, sometimes I think we just have a play with two actors in it. It has the same director. It has the same script. It has the same set. And it has the same ending. But we have two actors in it. One is Democrat. And one is Republican.
Macbeth is Macbeth. It really doesn't matter which drama company does it.
There you go.
But let's say that nothing much changes here, and that's what I suspect will happen. Well, in that case, we are watching the current paradigm in its death spasms. And it becomes more and more dangerous as it becomes more and more dead, as it's closer to death. It's just like an animal. And so we will see then draconian measures, and we'll see people disappearing. And that's just what will happen. And, you know, we don't have to speculate about that. We've watched this happen in country after country after country, all down through history. We know exactly what's coming. There's no question what's coming. So people get one shot at it. If they do it right, then we pull out of this totalitarianism. Otherwise, folks, you elected it, like it.
Well, I have a strange feeling that you're right. And I thought, you know, the last couple of elections, maybe the last since 1992, we get sold a package that just sounds so good. And we get the package and we open it and it turns out to be, you know, the lesser parts of the animal. And you think that the public would learn, but what we see is a population that is so affected by the propaganda that runs constantly in all the media. However, I got to say, we're in a little bit different situation now, and I think you'll agree with me, because this election, more so than the last election, we have more social media active. We have the ability to get, you know, your program, my program, Twitter, Facebook, other social networks that are out there. I mean, come on, when Clinton was elected and Bush was elected, we had MySpace, and that was it. Now we have the ability to move information and ideas so fast and so cheaply among one another. Can we really be fooled again?
Yes. They're doing it every day. If you think that this social media is not being manipulated by the same people that manipulate all of the so-called major media, you need to think again. It is being manipulated. It is being heavily, it has been heavily infiltrated and is being heavily manipulated. And yes, they can. Congress passed the bill, and it's legal now. The president can pull the plug on the internet. And
I know that. But
manipulate it every which way you want to manipulate it, right up to pulling the plug. One of the biggest units now in the military has to do with that very thing.
Well, I do know that X Squared Radio got knocked off the air for about 8 days because the largest hosting company in the country, which is who I have my my program hosted with, called me up one day and said that I had to take my website down. And I said, why? And they said, because you have too many people accessing your website. I said, but wait a minute. Isn't that the idea? I mean, isn't that what we've been doing here for the last 5 or 6 years? Haven't we been building the audience base to the point where we are popular? And now you're saying I'm too popular? And they said, yes. And you're beginning to slow down our servers. And we can't have that. So I went from having to spend $140 a year to spending $1,500 a year for the bandwidth to be able to handle my audience. Otherwise, X Squared Radio was going to go away. And so we were
off. I know the feeling. Yeah. So, social media is manipulated media. And, you know, I get flooded every once in a while. It's not just social media. It's also on YouTube, the comments that get left and so forth.
Oh, yeah.
And I get a little minor flood from these disinformation operatives once in a while. And as soon as I recognize the tactic, my response, open and public, just as open and public as what they posted, is, so which government agency do you work for, and what is your black ops agenda? I never hear from them again.
Wow. Well, I've never tried that. I've certainly gotten some bad stuff, and you know, I'm in private industry too, and some of that relies upon investment money and relies upon making agreements with pretty large companies, and I've lost investors. I've lost, companies that I do business with because of what I do here on X Squared Radio and because of what I've done with the North Pole Inner Earth Expedition. I mean, there's nothing I can do about it now. Google has, you know, I don't have any privacy. There is no such thing. You want to Google my name and read for about a week and a half? You can do that. And, when you're done with that, you'll be convinced that I am what I say I am. I'm a scientist. I'm not a kook. I've never once in any interview ever said that I believe the earth is hollow. And I've been on your program many times, and you've also checked me out and found that to be true. And yet, in the press, I'm the hollow earth guy.
Well, yeah. The only consolation is to understand that the press also put together a series of reports out of Kosovo that were award-winning, and they showed concentration camps. And it was Penny Marshall, the reporter. I don't remember. She's Euro News or Sky News or somebody over there. But she put these together, and you see all these people behind barbed wire fence, and they look like refugees. What they didn't tell you or didn't show you, it was Penny Marshall that was behind the barbed wire fence. These people were free, and she was behind a barbed wire fence in an enclosed area that had some generators in it, and she was looking out through that at these people that were roaming around free in a refugee camp. And it was both Serbs and Albanians that had fled to this camp for medical attention and help.
Oh, my gosh.
Award-winning. And those pictures went all over the world, and that video went all over the world. And as a result of that and other reports like that, it justified putting Yugoslavia out of business.
Unbelievable. She was on the inside of the fence.
Absolutely a lie.
On the outside.
So we've seen the media do that sort of thing. You know, if it comes out of major media, folks, you divide that by at least 1,000, and maybe what's left is a little bit true.
So when Iran says that they're developing their nuclear program so that they can join the nuclear age and not have to burn oil to generate electricity, are they telling the truth? Or is the press just trying to make us believe we have to go to war with Iran?
Well, I don't know if Iran's telling the truth or not. I mean, there is the possibility that they are telling the truth. That is a possibility. There's also a possibility that they are lying through their teeth, because Ahmadinejad, although a very educated man, is a few bricks shy of a load on the sane side, in my opinion.
Well, Ahmadinejad,
I don't know whether they're telling the truth or not.
Ahmadinejad is a Jew, so why is he saying that his job is to wipe Israel off the earth? And Netanyahu is Persian, so he's not going to go to war with Iran. And I know lots of Iranians. I worked with their engineers and different directors and suppliers. They don't want to go to war. They are educated, free people that can travel anywhere in the world that they want to. They think Ahmadinejad is a nut.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, seriously consider most of the world leaders. There's not very many of them that don't make that list.
That's true. That's very true.
And, you know, John said earlier when he hears us talking, you know, it gets depressing and he wants to. Well, you know, if we're going to talk about the world in which we live, yes, we are the highest technology. Our own bodies are the highest technology. But if we're going to talk about the world in which we live, we have to talk about why we put the dysfunctional technology in charge of the world.
You have a good point. And, yeah, I guess it can be depressing because we get to the point where we're dinging the bell. And, you know, the bell is not to call you to dinner, folks. It's to call you to action, because the joy of this world, the joy of mortal life, is yours for the taking, yours for the having, for the enjoying. But there are a few people out there who want to take it away from you, and they are in power. And we have a legal, constitutional way to change that. And
right now.
Right now we do. We have maybe one And I doubt we're going to get a second shot at it because now the legislation is in place. The next person that comes in could be a despot and could use the legislation that's in place to let Janet Napolitano do what she really wants to do.
Well, there's this idea that if you say anything negative about Homeland Security, the Department of Homeland Security, of course, that does get you put on the list. But what they're trying to promote is that you're somehow opposed to the security of the American people. Look, folks, ask yourself, stop and think about this. They're doing all this spying on you and making it so the military can just pick you up and Guantanamo you. They say in order to keep Americans safe. Okay. Safe from? Well, they say terrorists. All right, so think about this. How long was our military in Iraq? Did they get hit by terrorist attacks? The military, the might of this country, did they get hit by terrorist attacks?
Well, if you call IEDs, yeah.
You can't keep yourself safe from a terrorist. If he wants you, he'll get you because they're insane. They don't care what happens to them. They don't care if they die. There's no way any country can keep its people safe from terrorists. But what they can do is they can keep their people from being free while they tell them it's to keep them safe.
Well, that's the thing. The process of America stops being America if you put if you overtake that process with a lack of liberty. You know, the TSA, the Transportation Safety Administration, went to Congress and made a report on their $119 million budget of this last year for these roaming random inspections that they do of train stations and bus stations and all kinds of public transportation. They found zero threats in 12 months. And they were there asking for an increase in their budget by $48 million. Congress was saying, but listen, you didn't find any threats. You didn't stop anything, not with dogs, not with nuclear detectors, not with bomb-sniffing vans that drive around. You found nothing. So why are you asking for $48 million more dollars? And they said, well, our presence stopped it from becoming a reality.
Uh-huh.
Jeez Louise.
Look, that's
crazy.
The TSA, and everybody's seen them, right? Compare
right.
The TSA to the U.S. Army. U.S. Army is the finest fighting machine on this planet, in my opinion. Well, let me change that. The U.S. military is the finest fighting machine on this planet, in my opinion, and I have seen other nations' fighting machines and have worked under their administration. They are just superb. So compare the U.S. military to the TSA. Which one would you want on the front line protecting you in the face of a terrorist insurgency?
Well,
it wouldn't be the TSA.
No, it wouldn't be the TSA.
The TSA is saying their presence prevented any threats from developing, and here we have the U.S. military, the finest fighting machine on this planet, in Iraq, and there were plenty of terrorist attacks against them. Their presence didn't prevent that.
That's true. That's true. I have a new caller, Dale.
That's just a ludicrous statement.
Dale from New York, welcome to the program.
Dr. Brooks. Hello, Mr. Smith.
How are you, sir? Welcome.
You guys are having a great discussion again, as usual. As a matter of fact, if it, hadn't been for Kevin Smith's show, I've never found yours. So it's good to have you guys together.
We don't do it very often. When we do, the universe shifts slightly.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned the universe because I want to make a point here. A lot of people understand how bad a situation we're in. I mean, there's people in other countries that see how bad it is in America now. And, you know, my colleagues at work have these discussions about this and that and the other thing. And everybody's at the same conclusion. We got to make some kind of change here, and a real one. So that's why I intend to go and use my constitutional rights I still have to vote out the incumbent. But besides that, I think the universe is only going to allow a certain amount of negativity. All these negative empires have ever existed have all fallen. Either they've fallen from being conquered from without, or they've fallen from rot from within. If we become one of these evil empires, if we're not already one, it's hard to tell nowadays, I don't think it's going to last very long. The real tragedy is how many innocent people will have to suffer because of this. Your comments?
Well, I agree with you. I think that the reason, and Kevin will probably agree with me, the reason this country was formed, actually in 1215, the Magna Carta formed the skeleton of what we call the Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights. It didn't go very far. It went somewhat. At least they got King John to sign it. But when you look at the grievances and the actions that were taken by the founders of this country, the grievances and actions that need to take place today are identical. What happens in between those times is that we, the people, become apathetic and we allow evil men to take control of what is a very good thing called America. We'd like to save it. We'd like to not have to lose the oldest and greatest constitution in the history of the world because we have to go through this change of letting a nation fall apart. We don't want it to fall apart. We want to heal it. That's my thoughts.
That's correct. I agree with that. And I want to heal it too. But it just sounds like, you know, there's enough doom and gloomers out there. There's enough fear-mongering going on. And yeah, things are bad. But we got to realize there's other players in this game, some of which we don't even recognize. For instance, wasn't it true, Kevin, on your show that you've had people on there that talked about nuclear bases that were shut down by UFOs, for instance?
Not nuclear bases, nuclear missile sites that were interfered with, and that was Robert Hastings and also Robert Salas.
Right, right, Colonel
right.
Robert Salas.
I'm sorry. Okay, that's correct. So there's other players in this game. Now, I can't believe, and I don't believe, that all these so-called aliens are goody two-shoes, but I cannot believe that they're all evil entities either. Doesn't the universe need a balance of both positive and negative? Isn't that the kind of universe we live in, though?
Yes, but that's no net gain for the human race because there's absolutely no indication from historical record that they are going to intervene to save us from ourselves. And I think people who think they are going to intervene to save us from ourselves are misinformed and very idealistic and believing something rather than knowing. What we do know is they never have.
Well, maybe
that's... So, you know, either we save us from ourselves or we deserve the destruction that we're bringing on ourselves. This is... Our actions purchase the future. Now, the future that we're living in right now, the present tense, was future 1 second ago. And the future we're living in was purchased by actions that were taken previously. So the actions that we take now purchase a future. That's the currency that you buy the future with.
Right. I didn't mean to imply that we're going to have some aliens come down and save us. And I wouldn't want that. We need to save ourselves. But I was just trying to make the point that there are other forces out there that, you know, we get this mindset lately of all these doom and gloom that we're just screwed. And I don't believe that. I refuse to believe that.
Good for you.
We can change this stuff, but we have to hit a tipping point in the masses, in the group consciousness, or whatever the heck you want to call it. And I can tell you that from the few people that I associate with on a daily basis, that they're more awake now than they were 5 years ago. Now, are they awake enough? Who's going to know until this election's over or whatever? But we got to have the belief that enough of us care to make a difference. And I'm not going to give up that belief. You know, that's all I got left. You know, I'm like everybody else.
I totally agree. I want to see the ticker tape.
Good attitude to have. I don't disagree with that. You know, I'm sitting here saying that the actions we take are the currency that are going to buy the future. So we have to look at how are we going to spend the currency, because it's going to buy the future. So we're talking about taking actions. And but let me say this. Now, you didn't imply this whatsoever, but because of what I just said, I need to say this. Everything produces offspring just like it. People produce people. Bears produce bears. Whales produce whales. Violence produces violence. The answer is not violent action. Because then what do you get? A future with more violence.
Well, that's why I'm saying we have a constitutionally preserved way that Kevin and I are saying we have one, maybe two shots at trying to heal this patient, which we call the American Republic. And we've already talked about the political science of bananas. I was going to say Banana Republic, but Kevin and I both agree we just have the banana now, and it's ripe. Which it will soon be rotten. It is doom and gloom, but it seems that's what it takes to wake people up. And you've already said that your friends, your colleagues, people with whom you communicate are more awake now than they were 5 years ago, 2 years ago. And you make a good point. Since we rung the nuclear doorbell, we have been visited by beings from other worlds, other dimensions, maybe from inside our own planet. It's hard to tell. They are advanced, to be sure, because they can make a left-hand turn at 10,000 miles an hour, and we can't. Now, science fiction is full of brain-eating alien stories out there right now, and I'm not sure I believe all of that. Some of it may be true, but I also don't believe they're going to step in and save us from ourselves, because this planet has been through a very big amount of hell in the last 70 years. Kevin and I have both walked the grounds of places that were full of nothing but death for years. And it was because of the amorous lust and greed and corruption of a very few men that made that happen. However, it was more the fault of the people and their apathy and their inaction that were responsible for what went on those killing fields.
I understand.
So we hate to be doom and gloom, but we're kind of trying to call the nation peacefully to a call to action, to do exactly what you've already said you're going to do. You're going to go to the polls in New York, and you're going to throw the incumbents out. And I think you're going to be joined by hundreds of thousands of people.
make it happen.
You sure you can? Because the energy that's out there.
You know, I want to tell you, I served in the military, and I've been in situations where things are tough, and I didn't think, man, am I going to survive this? But I survived because I kept saying to myself, I can do this. And we can do this, too. We can make this change happen. And I hope the millions of listeners out there are getting that message. We have to make the change. No big daddy's going to do it for us. We got to get up, walk out the door, walk down to the polls, and make our voices known. And that's, I guess that's all I got to say.
Well, that's perfect. And you said it beautifully.
You guys are great. I enjoy both your shows, and it's a pleasure speaking with you.
All right. Thanks for the call.
I really appreciate it, Dale. Thanks so much.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, you know, those are the kind of listeners that we have, Kevin. We have people that are awake, they're aware, they're committed, they're energetic, they respond, they buy books and movies, but they also vote and they listen to what we say. And they listen to messages that we talk about on our programs. I'm not saying that we're charismatic in any way, but at least we're out here. We're free. We're really the free press out here talking about these ideas. Some people disagree with them, and they'd like to have a more fun fairy tale on the air than what we're talking about. But some of them get it, and they realize that the wizard behind the curtain does not have our best interests in mind.
Well, you know, Brooks, I have Kevinisms, right? Little sayings that I've been saying for years. And one of them is, powerful people are only as powerful as the rest of us. Let them be. That's the point. And this is why, you know, in a sense, they're really... Anybody 18 years old or older after this election cannot claim that they were an innocent victim.
Well, I agree. But you know, Kevin...
We do this. I mean, you can vote at 18. We are the ones who are going to do the future here.
Yeah, exactly right.
So there's only children can be said to be innocent here. And the rest of us, well... We're not innocent. We are participants.
We are. We're enablers. We are by our inaction, by our apathy, by our following whatever party line that we think we're following, we are enabling the drunkards that are at the wheel of this country.
That's true. That's absolutely true.
You know, it's like we said before, there's only one thing more plentiful than pit bulls as pets, and that's people with scars that make excuses for pit bulls as pets.
Yes, that is true. Now, let me ask you a question. Have you been hearing clicking on the phone?
No, not really. It's pretty clean on my end.
All right.
I don't have the best hearing in the world, but I would hear a click.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, here's the thing, too. If a doctor, if you're really sick, you go to the doctor, he discovers that you have cancer, and he says, you know, I really like Brooks. I don't want to upset him today, so I'm just not going to tell him. Would you have any respect for a doctor that wouldn't tell you what you've got?
No.
I mean, without knowing what you've got, you can't get appropriate treatment. So hearing that message from the doctor is doom and gloom, but it is the first step towards a cure. To specifically and accurately diagnose the problem. And so what we're talking about here, while it may not sound real positive and may kind of have people kind of, oh my God, what is this coming to? What is the world coming to here? It may have them in that frame of mind. The fact is, without specifically and accurately diagnosing what we're looking at here, there's no possibility of a cure.
Well, yeah.
And this is the very thing that the recent legislation was designed to prevent from happening, to prevent you from getting the specific and accurate diagnosis of what they are doing to the country. It's designed to prevent that, and that is specifically one of the 25 points of Mr. Adolf Hitler.
Yeah, exactly right. And, you know, part of that diagnosis is to look at the symptoms. And we have five symptoms that we've discussed tonight about this banana republic. Do we have a small, self-elected, wealthy group who exploit the country by means of a politico-economic oligarchy? Do we have a servile dictatorship that's supported for kickbacks the exploitation of large-scale corporations? Do we have a country operated as a commercial enterprise for private profit, affected by the collusion between the state and favored monopolies? Do we have a government by thieves and influential government employees exploiting their posts for personal gain? Do we have foreign corporate manipulation making the American government unaccountable to its citizens? Yeah, I think all five of those symptoms mean we're sick and there is a cure. And the cure is that little handle inside the booth that's surrounded with curtains that nobody can see what you do in there. And if you wish to take the right pill, we can cure this country in 10 months flat. Or at least we can take a good...
I agree with that. I think it's entirely possible. Now, on the other hand, do I think it will happen? I think the majority of the population are mushrooms. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm dead wrong about that. But I think the majority of the population are mushrooms, and they're going to buy the various party lines. When I say various, that makes it sound like there's a big selection. There are two. And ultimately, as you get closer to the top, there's only one. And I think that's what's going to happen. Incumbents have a 95% chance of re-election.
Sure. Yeah.
And that's statistically true. Therefore, what we can say is that the demographics of that is that we are in majority mushrooms.
Well, the cure that we're talking about here is not the real painful one. It's not the one that we really need to do. I mean, we don't need to do a presidentectomy. By impeaching the president, although there's plenty of grounds to do that. We're close enough to the elections now. We don't have to go through that embarrassing, globally embarrassing process. We don't have to show everybody what's underneath the doctor's gown. We can do this in the privacy of our own booth. We have a chance to cure the patient, or at least give it one healthy shot of antibiotic. And that is sending a bunch of people to Washington that don't have a clue what Washington is about. What a great idea.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, whatever comes out of that cannot be worse than what we have.
Well, it might be a little stupid. It might be a little ineffective. It might result in some kind of gridlock for a while till people figure out where the men's room is. But at least it will be fresh. At least it will be unable for the lobbyists to move in and say, look, this is the way things work in Washington. Well, I don't know that. I'm new here. And in fact, so is everybody in the room. So people sent us here to keep you out. So we're going to do the people's business, and we might do it a little ignorant at first, but we're going to do it anyway by liberty, and we're going to read everything, and we're not going to send 10,000-page bills to the president to be signed that we have never read.
You know, people that vote yes or no on a bill they haven't read are committing an act of treason. And well, for sure, they are committing an act of malfeasance.
And there's no small amount of subterfuge that comes from the leadership of these parties, whether they're the majority leader or the minority whip, as they pick up the phone and call them and say, Kevin, we really need your vote on this. You know, if you come through with your vote on this, we'll make sure that the bridge that you need down there in Scottsdale, Arizona, you're going to get your bridge, but you got to, we need your yes on this vote.
Well, you know, we're never, ever going to get all of the horse trading out of politics. That's never going to happen. But, you know, somewhere along the line, these people have got to realize that they were not elected to go there and vote their conscience. They were not elected to go there and vote for what they think is best. They were elected to go there and vote for what their constituents want.
Well, what happens, though, is they go there and they bring the federal bacon home, and then their constituents keep reelecting them. How else would you think the likes of Maxine Waters, Sheila Jackson Lee, Barbara Boxer, Chuck Schumer, and others could keep getting reelected?
Well, you know, the thing is, there's just not much bacon left to bring home.
If there is, it's, what do we call that stuff? Sizzling. That's what it is. It's fake bacon. It's great.
Well, folks need to realize that what they are bringing home and talking about bringing home the bacon, what they are bringing home to you, ladies and gentlemen, is money they borrowed from people around this planet that do not have your best interest at heart, and they want to see you go under.
Well, I'd like to, hear from
you vote for that, and you say, okay, well, that's what I want. I want him. He brings home the bacon, so I'm going to do it. If that's what you want, then return the incumbent, accept the borrowed bacon, and understand you're headed for the breadline.
Well, I have one of my longtime listeners writes in and says, most of my Republican friends are socialists, all except Ron Paul. We will purchase our doom by not giving up entitlements. Oh, that's a possibility. That's a possibility. But, you know, like Ron says, most of the entitlements don't go to the middle class and the poor. Most of the entitlements go to the wealthiest corporations and Americans in this country. That's where the entitlements are going.
Well, they are not in our interest, and you know, it's borrowed money that we can't pay back, and it means the destruction of the country. It means the country eventually must fall apart. So,
well, we had an interview by Ann Barnhart on this program about 3 or 4 weeks ago. She was a former broker and had a brokerage firm which she closed prior to MF Global going out of business because she could see the handwriting on the wall, and she wasn't going to risk her depositor's money in MF Global's system. And sure enough, MF Global went down, pulled what is reported to be $1.2 billion of depositors' monies into limbo. She says by the time the accounting's fully done, it's going to be closer to $3 billion, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. But she says that the world is about $100 trillion in debt, and the global net worth is somewhere around $40 trillion. The system cannot be saved. But I believe that Americans are the most productive people on the planet. We're the most innovative. It is our ideas that all other nations steal. And we can come up with more ideas. We have the ability to pull ourselves and, in fact, the entire planet out of this pool of mud. But Kevin's right. We have got to get it out of debt. And that means stop borrowing money. Do what any corporation does. Lay people off. And I don't mean soldiers. I mean bureaucrats. Lay off whole departments, whole agencies of bureaucrats. Sure, they're going to hit the soup lines with the rest of us. So what? A corporation that lays people off and stops writing paychecks is very soon going to realize a profit. And when they do, they're going to pay off their debt. And when they pay off their debt, then they're healthy again. Every corporation that lays people off has their stock price go up because they become more valuable. And the same thing will happen with the U.S. government if we will lay off about 400,000 bureaucrats and let the money that would have been spent on those wasted wages on floors and floors and basements of bureaucrats and let it be borrowed by small business to get jobs going in the private sector, we can turn this around.
I think that's true.
Alex makes another point.
It'll be interesting to watch and see what happens. Like I say, you know, I've already lived under this before. I never thought I would come back home here to the United States and live under it, but I have lived under this before. And it's a matter of choice, really, as to what the future is going to be like. But the choices we have made have brought us where we are. And I think it's highly important for us to realize that we cannot say, I'm not responsible for this. Yes, we are. We are responsible for exactly where this country is today.
Well, we're not only responsible for our apathy, allowing it to happen, we are responsible for our own life condition, as we've always said on this program. And our life condition is part of the family condition, the community condition, the state condition, and the country condition. And our consciousness is involved in that process. First, we have to realize we have a problem. And as Alex said, they're not loaning us money. They're counterfeiting the money and then loaning it to us and then making us pay it back. He's exactly right. First, we need to realize there's a problem. There's a problem, people. We got here because we were sold, well, as the Australians say, we were sold a pup. And but now you're aware. Now you're empowered. Now you can apply your consciousness and you can motivate yourself to get yourself to the polls either through early voting, absentee voting, or actually on election day and make it happen.
Do you think they will?
Yeah, I think so, because there's an energy about this election that I have not seen in elections in the past, in election cycles in the past. Now, it doesn't matter what city I go to, whether it's L.A. or Detroit or Charlotte or Atlanta, Columbia, South Carolina, Raleigh, North Carolina, I'm seeing people out on street corners with signs. Now, some of it's a little misguided, But the energy is there. The energy is there that things are wrong and need to be fixed. And a lot of that energy is aimed at Washington, because Washington has got a terrible venereal disease called Wall Street.
Well, I certainly hope that people will not just go to the polls and make drastic changes, but make the right changes. You know, people who, I think you said, you ran into some people that said anybody that makes more than $100 million a year should be put in prison. You know,
yeah.
Folks, when you, I understand the feeling and the sentiment behind that, but when you make that kind of a law, you have just limited your upward mobility.
Well, your not own. Only that, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and you've done exactly
the
Nazis
did.
The
point is not to limit somebody's ability to earn money. The point is to limit somebody's ability who has money to monopolize opportunities. And, you know, if you go out there and you're successful and you make a lot of money, that's great. But there ought to be limits not on you making money, but on your ability to monopolize opportunities. The opportunities are what have to be spread equally among the people so that everybody has the opportunity to make whatever they are able to make.
Well, yeah, you make a good point, a very good point. But I think if people go out and clean the houses, we can clean the entire House of Representatives. We can clean one-third of the Senate, and we can clean the White House. And we can do it in 10 months. The question is, will we do it?
Well, the shredding of the Constitution is not new, and folks who think it's new don't know American history. The shredding of the Constitution began with one of the people who is one of the most beloved presidents in our history, by most people's estimation, and that is Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln is the first one to have the military go out and pick people up, put them in concentration camps, no trial, no habeas corpus, no nothing, and just hold them. If they suspected that they were sympathizers with or cooperatives with the seceded states. And they just went out, raided their houses, picked them up, put them in concentration camps. And that was Abraham Lincoln. That's where the Constitution began to be shredded. But the last molecule of it was ignited and burned with this last bill that just got signed.
No question about it. And we talked about it on this program, and we played Senator Levin's statement because he kind of got the blame for this, you know, being able to pick up American citizens and hold them without bond, because this is just part of the total bill. But he took the floor of the Senate, and he said, look, it wasn't me. I didn't put this in here, and he repeated it three times. We took this out of here. We wanted to put in a waiver or a disclaimer or a exemption for American people. But we were forced to allow the military to pick up American citizens by the White House. And he said it three times. This was a portion that was not designed by the Senate. It was designed by the president. He put it in there. He signed it. And if you think that the president was...
Well, at this point, see, it doesn't matter who did what. What matters now is what was done. And now the ball is in our court. And the question is, what will be done.
That's right. And, you know, if you think that that it wasn't supported, it was by Lindsey Graham, by John McCain, by others. Are you crazy, people? I mean, it got signed into law. It's law now. It's going to take a constitutional amendment or an act by the Supreme Court to take this out of power. We slept through it.
It'll never come to the Supreme Court. The people, you see, here's what happens. Some person out there makes a statement or two that gets them put on the list, and all of a sudden, here comes the U.S. military, busts their door down, takes them, because they don't have to have probable cause. They only have to have a suspicion that you have some terrorist links or that you are planning something terroristic. Just a suspicion. That's all it takes. So then they grab you and they make you disappear. You have no right to an attorney. You have no right to appear before a judge. You will not get the chance to file that suit against the government and have it work its way up to the Supreme Court. Other people who may find out what happened to you could file for you or in your behalf, except they will be ruled in court as having no legal standing.
Wow.
Now,
you're right.
How do we know that? Because there's an attorney who has been filing action in court to get the court to rule on the forgery. That's what's being alleged. I'm not alleging it. The attorney alleged the forgery of the Obama birth certificate.
That's right. He alleges
that it is a forgery. And the courts have thrown this out, saying you have no legal standing. So you, the citizens of the United States of America, have no legal standing in court to say anything at all about the guy you elected.
Well, that's just the technicalities of the court, and they know it. And the people that run Obama, the people that got him elected, that give him the words to say, that give him the bills to sign, that's the way they want it.
Well, look, even more seriously, that's the way Congress wants it, and that's the way the Senate wants it, or they would have done something about this at the beginning when they knew for sure. They knew for sure at the beginning. They had actionable information.
Right.
They didn't do it. They've knuckled under and said they're satisfied with the documentation. And so there you go. The people that all you folks elected, they are the ones. That's who has made this happen.
Well, there may be no way out of it. And we're not going to solve it tonight because we are completely out of time. So those of you listening live, you already know who's on the radio with me. And those of you listening to the archives tomorrow morning, I want you to tune into the Kevin Smith Show tomorrow night, kevinsmithshow.com. kevinsmithshow.com tomorrow, 8 p.m. Central Time. We're going to talk about the subjects Kevin wants to talk about tomorrow night.
And it'll be 9 p.m. Central Time.
9 p.m. Central Time. That's right. 11 p.m. my time. Central Time is 2 hours behind Eastern Time, or is it 1 hour behind?
No. Works like this. 7 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern.
All right. There you go. That's the timing. Anyway, we'll be there tomorrow night, and we'll make the universe shift the rest of the way that it's supposed to. This is 2012, and I want you to join me down at Maya 2012, December 21st, 2012, at Chichen Itza. Don't forget, click the orange banner at xsquaredradio.com. Kevin, thank you so much for coming on the program tonight. I know We're both going to be on everybody's list when they hear this broadcast. Thank you so much.
They already heard it. We're already on the list.
We're already on the list. Okay. I hope they do it in alphabetical order. I get to go first.
Do you speak Spanish?
Sí, habla español. Hablo español.
Bueno, bueno. Well, necesitamos en Guantánamo.
Muy bien, muy bien. All right. Adios, mi amigo.
All right. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. That's it for X Squared Radio. By the way, Alex writes in and says, the only person who will undo this travesty is Ron Paul. I've watched Ron in the debates, and I got to tell you, that's not the best venue in the world. You got 30 seconds to answer a question. You got cameras in your face, and you're looking down at one to two or three people who aren't even looking at you while you're answering the question. You have to look straight into a camera. You have no monitor. There's nobody in the audience that's got any signs. It's all black out there, and you have 30 seconds to answer a question. Well, that's not the best venue for this leadership to pop out. But I have to say, Ron Paul has the best ideas. He has the best policies. I agree we need to cut the spending $1 trillion in the first year. Will it be painful? Yeah. For the people who get a federal check up there in Washington, it'll be painful. They're going to have to move out of that million-dollar home that they have down in Silver Springs and get a real job. But life won't be over for them. A little bit of unemployment, and they'll be back on their feet in no time. That's what it's going to take, people. I'm telling you, the cure is at hand. And right now, it's just a simple injection in one of the butt cheeks. Pull the handle, make the change. We'll see you next week right here on X Squared Radio. It has been a great pleasure to have you here with us this evening. Tell a friend about us, because every Sunday evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, we bring you the best 3 hours of exploration into the mysteries of the universe and of the Earth. If you're not getting all 3 hours, send us the call letters of your local station, and we'll do the rest. Remember, Earth Explorers, that you are Source. Everything we do will eventually affect the universe, so try to do it on purpose. Reach out for the good in people and help it to grow a little every day. And before long, you will have saved the planet. This is X Squared Radio saying, peace, Earth Explorers.